It has been quite a trip from Eastern Ohio and Indiana and Illinois all the way over to New York State, up into Maine and Vermont, New Hampshire, and now in Attleboro, Massachusetts. Took a big trip today to Rhode Island and the shores and Rhode Island and Massachusetts. I'm here with my friend Jack Casey, who lives in this place, and we're going to talk a little bit about Massachusetts and Rhode Island, the last two eastern seaboard states that I'll be seeing before I turn west and head back out to the deserts, and the Midwest in podcast 1010, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Now, as you're going to hear, I'm sitting here with my friend Jack Casey. He's going to be in this podcast because he's got a wealth of information about New England, and particularly Boston and Rhode Island and New Hampshire and all around here. But he has reached that point in his life, as you'll hear, where he's sort of starting to think about going out on the road, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
What kind of a camper are you
looking at? Class C's. I fell in love with a Class A. Loved the panoramic view. Loved everything about it.
Where do you think you're going to be going?
I'd love to go visit my cousins out on the West Coast. Love to go to... cover some motorsports events at Watkins Glen.
And then one of the things you told me about was that your biggest concern is trying to make sure that you have internet access. Yes.
Yeah, because to post, a synopsis of a motorsports event, I need the internet. So,
right.
Yeah, real concerned about that.
Okay, so I got you, because I'm going to tell you about Privacy Post at privacypost.io. Now, first of all, they just put up their website. So we got a full website with all of the services. And, of course, Privacy Post has a whole bunch of different services. One of them is the connection. So I have a box, which I've talked about, and Dallas from Privacy Post has been on to talk about why the PEP Wave works so well for, functioning on the road to bring cellular signals in a robust way to give you access and speed. And I've talked all about that, but they also do a ton of other things. And to tell you more about that, I just want to direct you to privacypost.io, which explains all the different services. Obviously, communications and connectivity is really, really important if you're out doing the nomad thing. And privacy is also the key. So the people that started this company are IT professionals and practitioners of data privacy and security. So they're all about security in so many ways. All I want you to do, because I don't have time to tell you all the things that they're going to do, all you have to do is go to privacypost.io, P-R-I-V-A-C-Y, post.io, all one word, mail, residency, business, trustee services, and of course, communications. Privacy Trust, virtual entrepreneurs can use this, expats, anybody off-grid, digital nomads, and so forth, including you, Jack, and including me, privacypost.io. So I'm joined by my friend Jack Casey, who has lived most of his life up in this part of the country, Rhode Island, Boston, Massachusetts, and upstate. Well, I guess you call Albany, New York, upstate New York. You're from Albany. I mean, I always thought you were from Albany, but you're really not from Albany. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your history?
From Nassau, New York, very, very tiny town. Close to Steventown and East Nassau. You want to talk about the boondocks, but very, very small town, rural area, one traffic light, four gas stations surrounding the traffic light, an elementary school, and an all-purpose store called the Economy Store. And
what's interesting is people think when you say, I'm from New York, they think you're from Manhattan.
Well, when I moved to Kansas City in the 80s, one of the questions was, you're from New York. And I said, I came from a rural area of New York with farms. I sometimes got a ride to school with Mr. Druschel, who had just taken a sheep to market, and his car smelled like it. And and people were amazed. They're like, well, you're from New York and you had farms? I thought you had huge buildings. I said, no, that's New York City. This is New York State.
And a great deal of New York is rural.
Yeah, I would say it is.
Even though you have these great industrial cities like Buffalo and Albany and Utica, there's a whole list of them, Troy, you know, all that. And of course, you know, not to make references to radio, but we always viewed those as, you know, those were always markets, you know, they, especially Buffalo. They were unique radio markets for us. And for you, they were, you know, a place to grow up. So so you were basically a small town kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah, very much so. But I went to a Catholic military school in Albany. I had a Jewish roommate once who said, were they preparing you for the Crusades? But it was a great experience.
Yes.
And yes, and my shoes are always shined. And so that was sort of my window on the world was, you know, was actually was radio. But it was also going to school in Albany changed everything because it was, you know, it was a much more urban, enlivened environment, the capital of New York State. And but because I wanted to be in radio, I went to Emerson College in Boston. And my dad came from the South Shore of Massachusetts, so I was familiar with the area, and I fell in love with Boston. Except being a college student in Boston, if you didn't have money, was always a challenge. Oh, she went out with me once, but
even
now,
then, huh?
But yeah, but now she wants to go out with a guy from Harvard across the river because he has money.
Yeah.
And but I always loved Boston, and I've always kind of come back here throughout my work life.
I think this is a really special area. You know, obviously, I just came down from Maine and Vermont, and people are all like, well, you know, what's it like there? And it's like, it's hard for me because I've been in these really remote areas. You know, Maine is very remote. I didn't see people for days. And you come down here and it's it takes an hour and a half to go someplace. Where did we go today?
We went to Narragansett Beach. Actually, you don't want to talk about radio, but we went to the Salty Brine Beach, named after a legendary Providence radio morning
guy.
Host. Yeah, and so the thing about New England that's very different from other parts of the country, it's very, very concentrated, and we have a saying in Rhode Island about nobody goes from one side of the state to the other, and Rhode Island is the smallest state, and because there's a troll living under the Pell Bridge. And
we were in Rhode Island or New York?
We were in Rhode Island today. Yeah,
okay.
Went to Salty Brine Beach at Narragansett, Rhode Island, and then to Point Judith, which is right on the open ocean, and Rhode Island is called the Ocean State. Massachusetts is called the Bay State, and because Massachusetts Bay was the place where the Pilgrims came on the Mayflower, and you can see a replica of the Mayflower in Plymouth, which is pretty cool. And when I took a tour of the Mayflower replica, I learned that they actually sailed it from England under the command of Captain Alan Villiers. Who, if you're a nautical person, you know the name because he is like the primo sailing ship historian of the last century. He's an Australian, seamaster. And Plymouth is where the Pilgrims came, and that was kind of where Massachusetts began, and it spread out from there.
And then, of course, why did they call it the Bay State? Because one's on the ocean and one's on the bay. So that's literally it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's splitting hairs, but they, you know.
All right when it comes to naming.
Yeah.
And when mottos come along.
Yeah, yeah.
Land of Lincoln. He was born in Kentucky.
That's right, yeah, but right. He's buried in Illinois, right?
I guess.
Bob's home state, so this is a unique part of the world, and other than just heinous winters, it's just a great place to live. The winters are really tough. I took up skiing in the 80s just to make winter tolerable.
And you go to Killington and
all those, you know, Sunday River in Maine and Killington. And
then you took me to the birthplace of the Industrial Revolution, which I've never forgotten. And I still talk about that. I've been talking about it in this podcast series because this is kind of the Industrial Revolution tour in reverse because I came across from... I don't know where I was. I guess I was in Wisconsin, Western Wisconsin, and I came across, you know, you come to you come to Indiana and everything was settled in the 1840s and 50s. You know, Illinois, 1850s, 1830s. Well, up to Chicago a little bit sooner, but not that much. Minnesota, the very first outpost was built in 1820. The West is all later 1800s. Texas, most of Texas is really almost even the 1920s, especially West Texas. And then you come here and everything is... 1830, 1811, 1810, and then, of course, settlements going back to the 1600s.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And the Industrial Revolution was born in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, at the Slater Mill. Mr. Slater had a mill for, I believe, grinding some sort of grain. And
I thought it was a fabric mill.
I don't know. And before, so I'm not
going to... I just remember the visit.
Yeah, I'm not going to misspeak. But it was a natural place to put a mill on the Blackstone River because there's little falls there, and that generated the power to turn the wheel, and they did what they did. And the buildings are still there, and it's right next to the Pawtucket City Hall, actually, in the police station, police headquarters.
It's really cool. Yeah. And my favorite story about that is that they thought, well, we have a ready supply of workers because we'll bring people off the farms to work. And the farmers came in and started working at the mill, and they all went crazy and they quit after about 3-4 weeks. And so they kept losing their labor force because they just were like, this is insane. This mill work is insane. They were inside. They didn't like that. And they thought it was, a horrible existence.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad. I moved there in 1999, and I think this is kind of the death throes of the industry in Pawtucket for the most part. I live not very far from our producer.
Yeah, go ahead.
And nothing to bark at, but I live not very far from this huge wire factory, and it's a really gorgeous old, brick entity that where they spun wire, and they moved out, I want to say maybe 15, 20 years ago, and now they've subdivided the mill, and it's they have a batting cage in there, and they have some artists.
These reuse ideas for these mills, but Providence is very much a industrial town still, but it's seen better days, like many of these. So even in upstate New York, you see Buffalo's okay, but it isn't Buffalo. It isn't the Buffalo of the 1960s.
Right.
It isn't. I'm sure Albany isn't the Albany of the 1860s, despite the fact that the state government remains. That's the capital. Some of these other places, Vermont seems to have escaped, for some reason, industrialization. I can't quite figure out what happened there.
I think it's just been largely agrarian. There's the farms in Vermont date back to the 1600s and 1700s, and people have maintained that farming. And then I think tourism, it's such a charming place, a lot of B&Bs and, just gorgeous places up there and the ski areas. But I was going to mention that the manufacturing is a huge part of the history of Massachusetts. This was a really vibrant part of what has become the Rust Belt, the Merrimack Valley, Lawrence, Lowell,
absolutely,
Haverhill, that area.
And weird things made, wire, jewelry.
Yeah.
Implements.
Farm implements.
The steel plants
Easton.
Were all in the West. Weren't necessarily here, but this was this was actually assembly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. A lot of textiles down in Fall River, Massachusetts. Fishing is still huge out of New Bedford.
I call that maritime.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And we saw fishing boats today.
Yeah.
Going to get lobster.
Yeah. And maybe next time you're in town, we'll go down to New Bedford, which was a huge whaling site, along with the island of Nantucket. And they have a lot of history that's noted there. But there's still just tons of fishing boats in New Bedford Harbor. Hard work in fishing boats going out every day and plying the waters. It's very cool.
All right, in the second half of this podcast, we're going to talk about Rhode Island and the differences between these three. We're talking Massachusetts, Rhode Island, I guess New York a little bit, even though New York's kind of off the list because I went through, and I just thought Ontario and the Finger Lakes and all that. I didn't go to the Catskills, so we can talk about that a little bit. But The other thing I want to talk about, we talked about this a little bit, some places where I have lived, and I'll just say it, is, for example, Minnesota has this passive-aggressive inferiority complex when it comes to, and you do not find that with people from this part of the country, like New York, even if they're from rural New York, they don't walk around with an inferiority complex because they're from rural New York, or Vermont or Maine or something like that. It's like, yeah, I'm from Maine. You know, what do you have to say about it? You know,
well, New Yorkers, we're kind of arrogant. You know, New York is the Empire State,
and the Empire State,
and our motto is Excelsior. I'm not sure what it means. I thought that was a soft drink, but
it's the sword.
Yeah, no, I know, but really, we. I thought that was Excalibur.
Oh, no, that was Excalibur. All right. We'll talk about all this stuff in the second half.
We'll find out what Excelsior means.
We'll find out in the second half of this podcast. One thing that is so important on the road is fuel, and fuel prices are so important. You spend any time doing this, and you're going to learn that fuel, even a penny difference, is a huge thing. And I want to get a shout-out to my guys at 36 Lynn, the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36th and Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in Minneapolis. The reason that they're always busy is because they get a better deal on fuel, being independent, and they can pass that on to the consumers. They also have a great local store with local products in there. So next time you're in South Minneapolis and you want to be down with the community, which they are, they do great things for the community and great events. Remember 36th and Lynn next time you swing through town, you need gas or a cup of coffee. For more information, it's coffee, not copy. I sound like a Bostonian now. Coffee. For more info and great 36 Lynn events, check them out online at 36lyn.com or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Isn't EAA on the air show at Oshkosh right now, or is it over?
I don't know.
it has been on, and if you've had the chance, or if you're still there, and if it's still on, go to Building C. Check out Mark Corin at Alpha Systems. This is the great company that has literally revolutionized angle of attack issues with civil aviation. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. You have to listen to Mark to believe and to see what it does. Click on the Alpha Systems banners at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com for more info, and see you at EAA someday. So you grew up at a specific time in history. I don't know that you want to date yourself.
Oh, it's okay.
But you grew up. You're so much older than me, and so you grew up in a time in history that I think is unique, because that was a time in history, early 60s, in this part of the country, when this was firing on all eight cylinders.
Oh, yeah.
The Catskills were happening. You know, all of these mills were running full blast. Your dad worked at the power plant in where?
In Albany.
In Albany.
The Albany Steam Plant, Niagara Mohawk Power Company, yeah.
And so it was peaking here in a way that the only way that I could possibly draw a parallel is if you were to go, if you spend any time, you know, in the Silicon Valley, you'll see an economic boom even today, still full blast. All of these companies that are doing software are everywhere, and they're running full blast. The parking lots are full and everything else. Imagine the burgeoning, teeming activity of Silicon Valley transplanted to this part of the country. Detroit, Chicago, Albany, Utica, Buffalo, the maritime trade, you know, the agriculture, as well as go-go New York City in 1966 and 67 and 64, didn't have any of the problems it would later have.
Oh, yeah, manufacturing was the heart and soul of New England. My dad's sister, my Aunt Mary, worked in the cutting room of the Bostonian Shoe Factory in Whitman, Massachusetts for 55 years. Wow. And when she retired, they gave her a little pin with a diamond in it. But she was very proud of what she did. And that supported the economy in that part of, you know, Whitman, Brockton, in that part of Massachusetts. And similarly, up north in the Merrimack Valley, manufacturing, you know, was what sustained life. And it's very different now.
Yeah. How is it different? And how have they? I mean, we all have heard the stories about the Rust Belt. Okay, I don't even want to use those key words in the blog, and I don't even want to talk about it. But how has it? We all know the low point. And we all know that Rochester, New York, and Utica, Buffalo, still struggling.
Yeah, okay. No, Utica is up in the Mohawk Valley. My mom came from a city close by called Amsterdam, New York, which was a big rug mill town. And I think the thing is that the identity was lost when those factories closed. You know, people were proud to work in the mill and to have a job, particularly in post-World War II New England. It's almost like the entire culture was wandering around trying to find its next purpose. It's like, well, if we're not manufacturers, I mean, who are we?
Right.
And nowadays a lot of drug use, a lot of big problems throughout the region. Manchester, New Hampshire, another manufacturing town and a city in which I worked years ago, is really beset by a lot of drug issues, it's been a struggle, I think, over the last 30 years around New England. Now, Boston is a major education town. I mean, it's a college town, a huge college town, with many colleges and universities, and it's
that keeps the economy.
Yeah,
and it's an insurance town.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we know Boston has a much more diversified economy, banking, when it comes to Hollywood, all you hear about is Southies, it's the bank robbery capital of the United States, and, it's a bad image.
But one problem with Boston is that people assume that Boston is exactly like Newbury Street, Back Bay, which is very glitzy and very well-heeled. But, there are a lot of working class parts of Boston and poorer sections of Boston that are struggling. It's a very diverse city in every way.
Well, and it's interesting because it's weird because in a way when we're riding around going to all these places, we're going to talk about Rhode Island. You're in these little towns, and so it's kind of like LA because you don't really get into the city center. You get into all these little towns, and they all have a ton of history, like, farmers markets and zoos and, this one's got a ship and this one's got some museum here and something else at these different towns. And it's all part of the metropolitan area.
Yeah.
Whereas in Chicago, I'm familiar enough with Chicago to know. So when you're in the city proper, that goes to 95th Street, on the south side. And I don't know what the line is on the west side, I guess Cicero and then further up. I don't know. But, you're in the city until you get in the suburbs, and then you're in the suburbs, and now you're in the suburbs. So it feels like the city, even if you're at, 78th, and if you go up to the north side, all the way up to, Evanston, you're in the city. If you go west, you're in the city. Here, you could be in some place like Attleboro or, one of these other towns that we passed, and you're still in the city, but you're in these little towns.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because Attleboro, North Attleboro, Taunton, a lot of these towns are more or less suburbs of Providence because the Rhode Island line is very close. And so let's talk about Providence.
Okay. Is my assessment of Boston itself correct about the small towns?
Yeah.
And you're in the city, but you're in these small towns.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And all of those areas around Boston are markedly different, in terms of their local cultures, their heritage. You get up to the very Tony suburbs north of Boston, like Lexington and Concord, the cradle of the American Revolution. Those are very well-heeled communities. And then you go to Southie or Dorchester, Mattapan, Roxbury, you know, they're all very different, very culturally different, and all with their own unique challenges and high points. And
right, and these are all exits on the freeway that you're going to see if you're on the freeway.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't even attempt to do back roads around here because I don't think I'd ever get anywhere.
Yeah, and
you know, we went to the beach today, and it took 2.5 hours to get out there.
When you come here, if you're planning to drive in and out of Boston, just leave a lot of extra time The Southeast Expressway, which used to be referred to as the Southeast Distressway, is always backed up. No matter what time of the day or night, for no particular reason, there's always stop and go traffic. It's crazy.
So this is a suburb of Providence.
Yeah.
So tell me about Rhode Island.
Well, so Rhode Island, originally called, founded by Roger Williams, a religious...
wasn't he in Pink Floyd?
Roger Williams was looking for religious liberty from the colony of Massachusetts. He felt it was too restrictive. And to seek religious freedom, he started his own colony in Rhode Island.
Does the name Rhode Island come from?
That I am not sure of, but...
It was by the roads.
The original name of Rhode Island was only changed in the last election. The original name that was in use until a year ago was the State of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations.
And
you can see that, you know, obviously that has very negative connotations for a large part of the population.
So
the interesting thing is Rhode Island has a very checkered history in terms of slavery. Newport, which is now a very wonderful vacation destination with the mansions and the seacoast and the Newport folk and jazz festivals, it was a very big part of the slave trade. But early on, and in fact, Moses Brown, who was a founder,
so much for religious freedom.
Moses Brown, whose family, you know, was instrumental in founding Brown University, and there's a big prep school named after him. So he was a slaveholder, and that came out a few years ago, and it's a real blight on the history of Providence.
This is also Massachusetts,
yeah,
the home of the abolition movement.
True, yeah. So Boston was very instrumental. In fact, the movie Glory.
That guy was from Boston.
He was the commander of that regiment was from Boston. And when I first moved here in 1970. It was very gritty. It was a mill town, and not much about it.
You say that it had begun its decline by then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's gone through a metamorphosis. It's now considered a Renaissance city, and that's mostly due to its late mayor, Buddy Cianci. And if you in the Providence area, if you ask anyone, what do you think of Buddy? It's mostly a gushing response. People just love this man. But he was convicted twice, once for doing violence to his ex-wife's boyfriend. That put him in prison, and then he ran for office and won again, and he converted Providence to a uniquely beautiful city. They built a Water Place Park downtown. They have an event called Water Fire, which they produce about once every 3 weeks in normal non-COVID times, and it draws a huge crowd of people to the waterfront. They have these gondolas that go around and light these I don't know what they are. They're burning things in the middle of the river, but they're beautiful at night, and you know, music productions and things like that. So Providence has had an amazing resurgence. It's a city now that's a very desirable. Actually, Rhode Island, Pawtucket, Providence, And that entire area has become desirable for people who work in Boston, so because the housing prices are much more affordable. And the commuter rail extends all the way down to Wickford Junction, which is down in the lower part of Rhode Island.
And the commuter rails do have bathrooms on those train cars. Right?
That's an in-joke.
Really? In-joke. They do?
Yeah, they do. Well, they're not very nice bathrooms, but they're... You know,
when you got to go, it doesn't matter what kind of
bathroom. They serve the purpose, yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I like it here a lot. I like it more than I thought I was going to like it. I don't like being cold, although now we've had rain, lots of rain lately. I don't think that's normal.
No, this has been unusual.
Someone told me that usually summer is kind of hot here, and it gets hot early, and then around August it starts to cool off, although it's been a little up and down.
Yeah, August is the joker in the deck. Some Augusts are chilly, you know, sort of the beginning of fall, and others are hot and steamy and very humid. So you never know. It's New England. We have the saying here. Of course, they have the saying in other parts of the country. We thought it was a unique saying, but if you don't like the weather, wait a minute, it'll change.
Everyone says that.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, they all say that.
Yeah, but it does apply.
Because the weather always changes.
Yeah, well, that's true.
So if you don't like the weather here, it changes. So you are at the verge of looking around for an RV and doing some travel, probably not full-on nomadic travel. We saw some van life people at the beach with the surfers today. That was kind of cool. And I do want to ask you, okay, so you've spent a lot of time here. And we've, being radio guys, we've worked all over the country. You worked in Kansas City. Where else did you work that wasn't here?
In Roanoke, Richmond, up in New Hampshire, Calgary, Alberta.
Yeah, that was the other one, Calgary, Alberta. So do you think that you'll stay here? Or do you think that you'll drive away and go, you know, see you later.
I'm never sure, which is part of the adventure of life, that, you know, I like to keep my options open. But my dream, I think, is to live somewhere here in the Northeast, either Massachusetts or Northern New England or even the Albany area. Or even
Maine.
I highly
recommend Maine and Vermont.
I love Maine. Yeah,
love them.
But I'm going to be a snowbird. You know, that's why I want that RV, because I don't want to be chugging down to Florida or out to Arizona or Nevada or somewhere in a warm climate for the winter and then come back.
Yeah, that's the greatest thing about it. You can just go to a warm climate. Well, I was going to say something. I forgot what it was now. Real quick, traffic in this town is getting to be ridiculous. That's the line from Less Than Zero from the Mercedes-Benz dealer. What is with the traffic? I mean, it's really bad.
Well,
and it's
legendary
all over the country. Oh,
yeah. Well, I'll tell you why. Number one, people don't know how to drive here. No, I'm kidding. Well, it's true, but I'm kidding. Since I grew up in New York, it's really interesting. My dad, as I may have mentioned, grew up in Massachusetts, but he hated Massachusetts drivers. And whenever we came over here to visit my aunt, he'd say, "Watch that SOB up there. He's going to pull out right in front of me." And of course, the guy would pull out right in front of me. He goes, "See? Massachusetts drivers." But I think the issue with traffic here is that the roads, the streets and the roads were built for horse carts.
Out here.
Yeah. I mean, the Western cities were well-designed, very wide streets, a lot of access. I mean, even in the Albany area now, a lot of the roads just, you know, they're very wide. They have a lot of runoff area on the sides, and they're, you know, and so traffic is fairly well controlled. But even the Southeast Expressway, I mean, it's way too narrow, but they have nowhere to expand it to. You know, they just can't expand these roads. And the city streets in Boston,
I'm not driving into Boston anything.
You know, but, you know, the buildings have been there forever. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's a nightmare.
Jack, do you hate your printer?
I hate my printer.
Yes, and most people hate them because those print cartridges are so friggin' expensive. If you want to save up to 30% on the big box retail stores for print cartridges and stick it to the man, then check out Cartridge World at Cartridge World's website. You just click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com because they ask the question, why pay more to print? You can get free delivery and qualifying orders, and the right businesses can qualify to get free printers. Cartridge World, serving the universe from Maple Grove. Just call them from anywhere. 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632. Click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com for more info on Cartridge World. Why pay more to print? Now, real quick, I do appreciate the donations for Mobile Podcast Command. Goes right in the tank. I always need diesel, so whatever you want to send, do it. Just look for the picture of Mobile Podcast Command at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, right under the masthead. Click on the PayPal oval, and I will take whatever you want to send me, $500, $5,000, $50, $5, a dollar. People have donated a dollar, and I have appreciated it. And thanks for listening and sharing and liking on social media. I'm not big on the comments. I'm getting some good stuff off of LinkedIn, so that's cool. Also Facebook, and listen to the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, a bunch of other places, Google Play Music, Alexa, blah, 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 right? Thanks again for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts. All right, it has been great, and it has been great to talking to you, Jack Casey. You're just a civilian citizen now. You don't have any title. You've been stripped of your title, and you're now just a citizen.
I've anointed myself a motorsports journalist because I do.
We didn't talk about Formula One,
sports car, and Formula racing photography and commentary, but that's another subject for another day.
Thanks for listening to podcast 1010, the final spinal on New England, Boston, Rhode Island, a little bit of upstate New York, and I didn't really talk too much about New Hampshire, but you know, what are you going to do? It's been great, and it's really been a fun time to be out here, and then I'm heading west, and I always feel better when I'm heading west. Thanks for listening to podcast 1010.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.